In 1950, your work was included in a show called Six States Photography, which was...
I got the catalog for that.
Yeah, I've seen
it. I think I got it down. Oh, you've seen it.
Yeah.
I sent one, did I?
No, but I have that in relation to Arthur Siegel.
Okay. Yeah, he was the judge there.
Was that work that was solicited, or did you apply to be in that show?
I don't remember. Oh, no, they didn't. They just said they were having it. And
no, they sent out an invitation.
Yeah, but it was a very broad invitation. It was a juried show, so there was no security that you'd be in it.
Right, and Siegel...
Sarkowski was in it. I found that out.
Did he's know? one of the new faces who was in it. And there were other judges. Siegel organized the whole thing and was one of the judges, and I think...
Stryker was
one, and...
I don't know.
Maybe some local person. Maybe John Morris. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either.
Picture editor.
Jacob Deschen was out to that show, though. So that would have been Siegel inviting Jacob. Jacob would come out on invitation to cover these things.
And did the work, what was the work you had in there?
Some of this stuff.
In color?
Early stuff. It was before, I didn't send any of the syrup things, I sent some of those.
Light study?
Yeah, light study color. And they were set on a very delicate gray card. And whether Siegel did it or had somebody else do it, they trimmed them with a bad trimmer. So they cut into the edge of the print and left a crummy edge all the, you know, chewed edge all the way around the picture. Threw away the mat.
Well,
it was the most incredible thing.
This,
and then finally said, we think you ought to know before you get your pictures back that we have cut the, trimmed them. This was Burton Cummins, who also was involved with that thing, and went from there to the AFA.
Oh.
I think he was the one who got the financing for it.
Yeah, this was at Milwaukee Art Center or some such place like that.
I don't know. Anyway, it's experiences of this kind that made me very reluctant to exhibit over the years that went ahead. The Museum of Modern Art always cared for the things, but the other places were sometimes reprehensible.
The whole concept of caring for photographs is very recent, it seems
to
me.
Not only that, it's inviting the show people and then doing things to the pictures is the other part.
That's almost like entrapment.
Well, it's wrong and unethical and in a way stupid. And I don't hesitate to say it, and I think if Siegel did it, he should have been reprimanded for it. And if Cummins did it, he was the one who signed the letter, he should have been reprimanded for it. But you didn't do that in those days. I was just new at the business, and I didn't. But I must say I turned down a very great many opportunities after that.
That
not
sort of
knowing
put,
anything about them, no.
Put you off on the...
Oh, well, I think it's a waste of time anyway. I think exhibitions are folly. They're subsidized by the artist and do very little for the art and tend to create condescension on the part of the people to whom you send, because if they don't understand what you're trying to do, and many of them don't, you just have one more... what do they call it? Talking into the wind. I don't think much of exhibitions. Unless, as in some cases, they want to buy work, or you're doing it, as in the case of the Nebraska exhibition, he'd bought $1,200 worth of my work way back in this, about, I guess, 1969 or something like that, Norman Gasky. I'd do anything that he asked me to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not because he bought it, but because he recognized the work.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, while we're on the subject of shows, the next year there's this abstract photography show.
Wanda Lee had encouraged me. She had mentioned my work to Steichen when we were there that summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never sent him any. But I think she encouraged me to send that that year. And Steichen actually chose a couple of pieces from what I sent to put in that abstract show. And one of them was the giant, and the other one was a color, a green color picture, like the red one. I call it the pork chop. I found three of these here just a while ago when I was trying to find something else here. It's the green version of that.
Oh, yes, I have, you call that the pork chop?
Yeah.
Let me just, for the purposes of keeping this all together, make a note here, because that, I have a slide very similar to that, and that one is number 23 on my list. I just want to make a note of that so we can know what we're going, what's going on here. What, do you have some other...
Well, what I want to do is get out an actual slide of, or an actual transparency of the one. I finally got them at the museum, or our museum got their museum to lend us.
Uh-huh.
Those two prints that were in their collection actually were so buried that Sarkowski hardly believed there was one.
Yeah.
He, I guess, couldn't believe that there was anything in the museum from my stuff. But anyway, out of that, his having chosen those, when Hope wrote him for pictures for the show at Indiana, he suggested one of mine be put in with it.
No, wait, I'm not following you.
Well, we haven't come to that, but somewhere it should show that I was. In an exhibition at Indiana University that same spring.
In 51?
With
a printmaker or potter or something like that?
With Irving Penn, Aaron Siskin, Frederick Sommer, a whole bunch, 10 photographs from the collection of the museum that Steichen had chosen to be representative contemporary photographs, and he asked that one of mine be put with those in this show. And
this was a show organized by the Museum of Modern Art?
No. There were two shows. The one organized by the Museum of Modern Art was called
Abstract
Photography. Here's the thing. There's the picture that's in the Museum of Modern Art collection.
Uh-huh. Does it go this way?
I don't know.
Well,
I mean, if you like it that way, yes.
Okay. Well,
now those are photograms on 11x14 matrix film.
You're getting this rainbow effect on the back
never,
of the print.
I never printed any more of those in green for some reason. I print them in red, but they print in green. That little set of mats, or that set of mats, not little, my collection, still prints.
The mats last.
Yeah. I've been printing, except where the base has deteriorated, I've been printing 1946 mats, as late as 1975, 76. But where they are, the nitrate base mats, they've disintegrated.
Hmm. Got to become brittle, curled, yellowed.
Well, they flow. They become sort of liquid, and the whole image changes.
Huh.
And then it can explode and burn.
Yeah. Okay, well, another note in this chronology is that you're a staff member in the photojournalism workshop at the University of Missouri the next year.
Yeah.
And that, I'm wondering how you came to be doing that.
Clyde Hare had gone to that workshop even when he was enrolled in my class. I always let him go. Two or three people went one year.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they recommended to Cliff Eadem that I be on the staff.
I guess Wilpot was at it this summer.
That summer. Well, it was in the late spring. It was in May.
Mm.
And I think it lasted 10 days, something like that. It wasn't that a long workshop.
And I guess Siegel was also there this time.
Siegel was at the head of the group. He was the star.
What kind of material did you present at that workshop?
I just tried to deal with the pictures. I was not a successful thing. That was one of the not very pleasant experiences with Siegel.
Mm. What, just he was always contradicting you kind of a thing?
No, he wasn't like that. But you just knew that what I was trying to deal with was not of interest to the students, but he had instrumental in dealing with the Life editor who was covering the workshop, and he was interested in representing the workshop to this person and so on. There was nothing direct, it was all indirect. And maybe the signals were wrong, I can't say.
It seems to me, at this point in time, sort of curious that you would be involved with the photojournalism idea, in the sense that, as you described, you certainly were not interested in practicing it at the Pantograph and those opportunities, and it's certainly not by any means directly related to the kind of pictures you were making.
It was related to the other problems that I was interested in, the problems of communication in photography. I wasn't as narrow in my interest in photography. The only thing I was involved with that I felt contradicted the journalists was their interest in stereotypes and trivia. That was all. Now, I was always interested in journalism. But I was interested in honest reporting, and I'd consider, if I were going to choose, what Walker Evans did with the farm families as opposed to what Margaret Burkwhite did with the southern underprivileged people as a very distinguishable difference. And I was interested in the Walker Evans thing and the Agee thing rather than the Burkwhite Erskine Caldwell thing. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
It was a matter of a distinction, and I grew more and more disillusioned with what Life was doing, with facts. I didn't like what they were doing that way. It was the distortions that they were cultural distortions, and I can't criticize them totally, but anyway, I never was invited again, so you can see that I didn't fit in, but that's no new story. But some people liked what I did, but it...
It sounds like it was a question where...
I was invited and I said yes. I put it like that. I didn't ask to go there.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you were interested in questioning the kinds of assumptions that most of the people just wanted to operate on and not question.
But I didn't question them in front of them there. I tried to be helpful, but it was just not possible. You have to be... it has to be a collaborative thing. Russell Lee and his wife were there at that workshop. And I think maybe red hair suggested that I be invited, there'd be arguments, there'd be fights, and I wasn't up to that.
That you would be the gadfly sort of, or something.
Yeah,
like
I think something like that. I'm just guessing, I have no idea.
It's also...
I never did talk much with the people who were there, but I got the impression from others that, just a general impression that it was an embarrassment. But that could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
During 1952, it's noted that you meet a number of people that, I don't know whether it's for the first time or what, but it includes Minor White, Ansel Adams, Edward Weston.
Perkle Jones.
Did you make a trip out to California?
Yeah, Wanda Lee and I drove out in August, late August of that year, and we made it what you might call a pilgrimage. I had learned about Minor White first in 1948 or 49, and a reference to him in, maybe U.S. Camera or Pop Photo or somewhere, American Photography maybe. Then he wrote some articles on his feelings about photography, and he classified photography in these articles, and they were in American Photography, and I found them very useful, tried to incorporate them into my course.
Some of the distinctions he was making?
Yes, the large camera photography and small camera photography, and entering into the experience, the three-dimensional experience with the small camera photography, and being a little more distant with the large camera photography, things like this. They were new concepts to me, and... somewhere I read a casual reference, an article about his teaching out there in the Art Institute. So anyway, by George, he'd already started Aperture. he had started Aperture that spring. And the first, and I, he'd circulated the notice to me, among others, and I'd subscribe.
Now, Aperture didn't quite appear that early, did it, or did?
Well, I thought I had a copy that I took to.
I guess maybe
to.
I think 52 is the first.
Yeah, I'm sure because he
issue.
Was he was talking about when we were out there in that.
You're right. In fact,
time, he was talking about me writing something for.
Right.
We should almost go back a little bit and maybe comment if there's anything to say pro or con. And I know you weren't at this, but about the 1950 conference in Aspen. Which you...
No, I wasn't there. I wasn't there.
Conceivably were aware of, at least.
Well, though. I might have heard about it afterwards. I wasn't there. I did not hear about it at the time, no. Or beforehand.
Because
so
it,
I can't give you any comment on it.
Okay, because that, of course, was one of the points where Aperture
that's
kind of
right, that's right.
Came forward.
I understand that. And
yeah.
When I was at Rochester in 53, I think I got a little portfolio from the Newhalls of work that was issued by the people in that. In that group.
Okay, well, so I interrupted you. Anyway, he had just started Aperture, and you went out there.
Yeah, and it was, in a way, a person of some prominence that I wanted to meet because of his pictures and his ideas. His photograph, there were several photographs in the American Photography magazine from his sequence, Intimations of Disaster, and I was very responsive to them, and I wanted to see his whole sequence, which he did show me there. And we talked a little bit about interpreting photography, and I suggested that I could work on one of his pictures. So I took this Intimations of Disaster picture of the guy in the hard hat
down the hole,
in
yeah.
the holes,
and
speaker.
Yeah, and worked on that. But I wrote this little article at his invitation. The thing that was in that autumn issue, of, I guess 53, whatever it was.
That's his response to that image.
Well, it's more than that. It's the photo pictures in public.
Yeah.
Article. Wilson Hicks wrote a piece, and I wrote a piece. Came out the next year, but that was an outgrowth of our conversation in San Francisco in 52.
During your first meeting with him?
Yeah.
And you had not actually met any of these people yet, although you knew of them, like Ansel, for example.
No, I'd never met Ansel. I'd never met Perkle Jones. I'm not sure that I knew Perkle's work. I think I went to see Ansel because Miner suggested, but I can't remember now. Anyway, it was an outgrowth of a conversation with them. I wanted most of all to see Weston,
mm-hmm.
and I knew he was sick. I didn't know how sick. And they just said phone an hour ahead of time. So when we got to Carmel, I did that. And I waited an hour and went down to see him. And by that time, the drug that he took for his shakes had taken effect, and we had a very pleasant meeting. He showed me his work from his retrospective show. And
mm-hmm.
I bought a copy of my camera at Point Lobos from him,
mm-hmm.
things like that.
Did you meet Brett at that time?
You know, we'd bought pictures from Edward before that, I'm sure. My wife and I, we bought the pepper that I showed you. I think we bought that the previous year because...
What, by mail, you mean?
Oh, yeah. See, he'd had a book out that I'd bought in the 30s called, or in 1940, I guess it came out. Called
50 Photographs?
No.
California in the West?
California in the West, an account by Charis of his Guggenheim project.
Yeah, right.
And in there was this photograph of the toilet, and I wanted that picture, and I wanted the pepper, and then I wanted one of his choice from the 20s, and so I wrote and arranged to buy these. And I know that preceded me, because they knew my name, they were happy to see me. They were
mm-hmm.
friendly people anyway, but there weren't that many people buying his things.
No, there weren't.
Through his whole life, there weren't.
So were Brett and Doty...
Doty was standing out in front of the place when we drove up, and I think Brett came in, and Cole came in, and Neil came in, and I believe Armitage came in, but I don't remember. Mm-hmm. He was a, sort of a bulky man. Might be somebody else. He's in that film Willard Van Dyke made.
Armitage.
Yeah, I think so. Or the fat man, the bulky man I'm talking about with the round face and the bald head. He came in. whoever he was, I don't know. Hmm. And I think they came together because we were there, or something like that.
Well, did you spend any amount of time with him particularly? Or?
In that day. That, we got there sometime either in the morning or the afternoon, and I spent the rest of the time. Then we drove across the mountains to Salinas, mm-hmm. and spent the night at Cape City.
So
we were going down to Los Angeles. No, Wanda Lee had a friend in Los Angeles, and we were on the way to Los Angeles. And we couldn't go down the coast road because a mudslide had closed the Big Sur. Again.
Mm-hmm. Just like last week.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, I guess part of the question about this trip and these meetings, even though they are brief meetings, is in my mind is what was the meaning of it to you? Was it a kind of an uplifting or a positive sort of experience to really make contact with these people? And did you develop some sense?
Well,
that
with Minor, you can see the
all these things
working
begin.
For the Aperture came out of it. For Edward, it was just a kind of a pilgrimage, like you'd visit a shrine of some sort. And for Ansel, it was an interesting visit of not monumental significance.
Mm-hmm. I guess what I'm saying, another way of putting it is that through a lot of the time that we've talked about already in your earlier life, you're sort of not exactly working in a vacuum, but you're like you said, there's gaps in things that you see or don't see, and there's really no group of people around you who are an audience. And I'm wondering,
community. I didn't feel that I was developing an audience.
No, I don't
by
mean
the people I met this time, because Edward was ill. His son certainly wasn't interested in the kind of work I did. Ansel wasn't interested in the kind of work I did, and Minor wasn't interested in the kind of work I did. I had to be interested in what they were interested in.
Yeah, I didn't.
And that's just the way it is. I mean, you're used to that after a while.
I didn't mean audience so much with a sense of audience for your work, but really community is a community of common interest, perhaps.
Didn't find it. No, I didn't find it, except as I liked their work. I mean, they were always willing to have somebody like their work. And that was the way it came out. Well, this was not, except with Minor. I felt I had a little affinity for his interests, but I turned out later to find that
there were points of
we weren't so much different as that he was interested in self-aggrandizement, and I didn't approve of that as a program
mm-hmm.
for a leading periodical or the only periodical of a certain quality mm-hmm. in this nation. I just felt that was the wrong way to go, and certainly didn't correspond to what seemed to be the Oriental teachings he was espousing.
There was
a very serious contradiction, and I didn't like it. But I didn't find that out for quite a while. Maybe 10 years.
Yeah. I think we should stop right here.
Well, I just wanted to, we're talking about mine a little bit, to ask if you were, aware of or in any way affected by the Minor's sexuality and the fact that is...
No, when Wanda Lee and I went up to his place to look at the sequence, what was the thing you saw in his toilet? There was a at Miner's in San Francisco. You saw some notice or some picture or something that was indicative of his interest, his sexual. Well, it doesn't matter anyway. She came out and reported on it, and maybe I used the toilet and saw it too. I can't remember anymore, but
mm-hmm.
It's beside the point.
Oh,
I mean,
well,
his predilections were his, and that was not what I was interested in. I was interested in his pictures and the fact that I, too, felt this intimation of disaster. And when we get to 1956 and he comes down to a workshop, I can go into this a little more in detail. But I've often felt that in history, especially among the arts, I guess,
mm-hmm.
that they make an issue out of this when it's not an issue. It's the way they are. And you either accept what they do, I don't mean in their own private lives, but
mm-hmm.
their art,
right.
Or you don't. And the rest of it is off the point. But you do find this. Oh, I remember talking to Henry Hope once about Marsden Hartley.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a picture of Jesus, off the cross with his stigmata or
mm-hmm.
his signs of having been nailed up, mm-hmm. between a clown or maybe two clowns. It was a picture he had in his house, and I said, how can you deal with that and help me a little bit with that? And he said, well, Hartley was a homo.
Like that explained it.
Yeah, and these are dumb answers, you know.
Yeah.
And with Minor, the thing that I felt most objectionable was nothing about his private life that way, but about his pretenses at Oriental Insights when he behaved like an Occidental businessman on one level.
Yes, that's a good way of characterizing it.
And that I was offended by.
And this could have been a person of any sexual preference.
Course,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, well, I mean, the... Yeah, it's an interesting... it's just a matter
of... Well, what was it that you had in mind?
Well, what I had in mind was simply... I mean, I expected that was what your answer was going to be, but you never know unless you ask, and that's...
Well, that's all right. I'm not in any way objecting to the question. I just wondered
well, I think there were
how
people,
it happened to get to this point.
Well, I'll say this, that I think there were people with whom that was an issue in terms of their ability or inability to relate to Minor.
Well, you know, I don't know enough about Fred Summer to know, but I think his work is quirky too and creates problems for viewers, and I don't think it has anything to do with homosexuality.
No, I'm not.
Well, all I mean is there's another one whose quirky work is mm-hmm. really strange.
No, I'm not relating at all to the work, actually, but just to the set of connections and relationships that support this whole community of people.
Yeah, well,
you know,
people talked about it in my presence, and... That didn't seem to me, except as you would use it in terms of implications in the work, that it would have no relevance. By that, as I say, when we get back to this, and we talk about the 1956 workshop where he came and brought things, then you'll see two aspects of him: his need to impose a view. You know, he was an authoritarian person on the one side, and on the other side, he. I think almost unwittingly, or at least without too much arrogance, disclosed this other aspect of his life in his art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a...
But I'm sure it was in the Animations of Disaster, and I remember seeing some work that he did immediately after he got out of the service. Remember the hairy torso with the navel?
Yes, I know.
That was a kind of picture that was very disturbing to me.
Yes.
And it's this kind of thing you bump into every once in a while that you just either deal with or put aside, you know.
Okay, well, let's take a break here and...